Hello and welcome to MLW Confusion. I'm your host, Rob Cameron, bringing you all that you may or may not need to know about Major League Wrestling and its television programming. This week, we are going to take a look at MLW Fusion Alpha Episode 12, Big Tag Team Title Match Fought in a Philly Street Fight. But first, let's go over the news. First of all, for people who are just downloading it this week, I apologize for the scheduling difficulties. The combination of MLW switching nights for Fusion, at least this week, and then my own personal work schedule did not seem to jive, and is a kind of a perfect storm of failing to get things done in a timely manner. But it's only a day late, so I mean that's not super horrible, I guess, but you know, it doesn't seem all that perfect. MLW Confusion isn't high up on the list. But nevertheless, I want to apologize. Unless you're listening to this like way, way down the road, then totally this podcast did not debut a day late. It was on time, 8 a.m. Friday, like it is every week. So, glad we got that cleared up. Anyway, on to the real news. The first one, possibly the biggest thing, is previously MLW had announced that former IWGP World Heavyweight Champion Will Ospreay would be joining the company in December to at least do a one-off appearance for the company. This plan has fallen through, allegedly because New Japan Pro Wrestling was not thoroughly enthused with the concept of Major League Wrestling working with All Japan Pro Wrestling, which is New Japan's biggest competitor in Japan. I mean, well, obviously, because both of the companies have the word Japan in them. But anywho, so allegedly, that is what has called things to fall through, and Ospreay is no longer appearing for the company. That being said, but on a personal level, I'm not a big Ospreay fan, so it really doesn't hurt me none. So I apologize for any of those folks that are upset by my comments about not caring for Ospreay, but it really is. It is a blow for MLW. In other news, MLW announces a new program to debut at the beginning of January. It is finally going to happen. We are going to get MLW Azteca, the Cesar Duran-led lucha program, at least in miniseries format. It's going to be, according to Court Bauer and Cesar Duran, the next chapter in the ongoing anthology and evolution of Major League Wrestling. And it's basically featuring the best Mexico has to offer versus the best MLW has to offer for big money matches, because obviously that's all Cesar Duran deals with. It will debut Thursday, January 6th on Fight TV and YouTube at 8 p.m. And for those of you who get B in sports, it will premiere January 8th at 10 p.m. Eastern Time. So, I'm looking forward to this. This will kind of bookend the conclusion of MLW Fusion Alpha, the long-form miniseries. So, that is exciting news for the company. We'll see how it goes there. They've been promising us Lucha-branded television for quite some time now, and it looks like we are finally going to get it after all this time. Skipping back to, well, the New Japan relationship, it looks like All Japan's Saito brothers will debut in Dallas this January. They will be featured on MLW Blood and Thunder at Gillies January 21st in Dallas. The brothers are Jun Inrei Saito, and I'm not quite familiar with their work, but according to the press thing, they stand 6'3", and they have a fierce reputation for their grappling and tosses. So it sounds like a good strong style Queens Road fit for Major League Wrestling and their blending of styles. And I imagine that, you know, they can do some good work here, so we'll see what's going on there. They're trained in New Japan, and evidently some hot young prospects coming out of there. So they will be joining an already stacked tag team division once they wander in to the United States. Speaking of the tag team division, we are also going to get, in Texas, the Von Erich brothers, Ross and Marcel, taking on 5150 for, well, spoiler alert, the MLW Tag Team Championship. This is allegedly going to be under Texas Tornado rules, and I'm not sure if I've seen a proper Texas Tornado tag team match. Nope, that's a lie. That's a Texas Death Match I was thinking of. Totally have seen Texas tornado match in tag team wrestling. That's actually all I used to play in the old Warzone game. Good thing I corrected myself before I got too far in, and you're going to have to, like, note that Rob doesn't actually watch wrestling when actually Rob watches way, way too much wrestling. Anyway, so now that I've screwed that up, just for, you know, everyone's aware of it, Texas Tornado Match is basically, there are no tags. Everybody just has a free-for-all. Okay, it's not quite a free-for-all, because there are still DQs. There should be count-outs, usually not enforced, the latter anyway. But no tags, people come in and go as they please. First pinfall wins. Alright, so now that I've continued to make myself look foolish, not that that doesn't happen anyway, but never mind that. It has also come out through the MLW news desk a couple hours ago that Danny Limelight, aka Rivera of 5150, is going to IWA Puerto Rico. This, of course, at a certain level should be no surprise, as Rivera is a very good wrestler, and MLW has a very close ties with IWA Puerto Rico, because they're really tight with Savio Vega, who pops in periodically for MLW programming. So, best of luck to Danny Limelight, aka Rivera. Hope he follows in the footsteps of King Muertes and Richard Holiday, you know, the best IWA Puerto Rico Caribbean champion of all time. All right, enough rattling about the news. It's all you people need to know, as the good Baron would say. Not the beer Baron, Baron von Raschke, of course. Let's move on to our review of Fusion Alpha number 12. Our show starts off with MLW matchmaker Cesar Duran in the ring with his masked associate. He shows off a briefcase full of cash, and the winner of the next match will get said briefcase full of cash. So what's that match going to be? Oh, sweet deal, man. It is going to be a rematch between Aramis and Ares. The kicker is, this time around, though, Ares has joined up with Holiday and the Doctor of Jobology, Dr. Dax. So they are coming to the ring with Ares. I wasn't aware of a relationship between the three of those folk, but really, I mean, they all kind of fit together as masked and painted up weirdos. Mean that with all due respect, of course, because all of them except maybe Dr. Dax could beat me in a fight. I'm a really big fan of the master of strange style, Ares, and, well, Holiday is no slouch either. Anywho, so this is a rematch from earlier in the Fusion Alpha world, where Aramis got the win over Ares in a really good technical matchup that I called Lucha Catch, just because they did a lot of hold exchanges only done in the fluid Lucha stylings. So I'm really looking forward to seeing kind of a repeat of that here tonight. And really, overall, I'm not disappointed. They start off with a long exchange trading wrist locks and then just doing cartwheels and rolls and flips to get out of it. And just, they really kind of go back and forth trading these holds. I can't express like how neat it was to watch this in action. So if you guys haven't seen it yet, like, totally watch it. I'm recording this a bit early in the morning, but I'm gonna shoot like all my wrestling friends like messages like, go watch this, like, it is bloody amazing. They get a nifty little like faint trip from outside the ring into the ring on the ring apron. Like, Aramis like slides in and trips Ares. Like, that was nifty. I hadn't seen anything quite like that before. Slid through his legs. Ares gets the advantage, goes for a pendulum home, and a moment that actually caused me to verbalize out loud. Like, somehow Aramis rolled through a pendulum hold into his own pendulum hold. And, like, dude, WTF matey. Like, that excited me. Like, that was crazy go nuts. But things, of course, I mean, we can't have great things like that go on forever. Things break down. Ares hits a crucifix bomb on the ring ramp. Match, unfortunately, does not end there. Inside the ring, we get an Ares double stomp for a two count. Aramis misses a tornillo, but comes back with a suicide dive outside the ring. Inside the ring, the two go back and forth, trading finisher attempts. Neither are quite successful. We get a double down, though, off a big headbutt. Aramis hits his spinning rack bomb for two counts. At this point, though, we start getting like actual shenanigans. Holodead grabs Aramis's ankle, so that allows Aries to hit a big Northern Lights suplex for two. Knee bar by Aramis, but there's a distraction with Dr. Dax, and Holodead allows Aries to kind of come back, do his thing, hits this something tied up driver, like hooks the neck, hooks the legs, and like hooks a leg behind his behind Aramis's back, and then flips him over for a driver, I guess the three count. I should really just like look up to see what he calls that maneuver, because I'm pretty sure that's like his actual finish, and that he does this like quite a bit. But it's crazy go nuts to watch a guy tied up like that and then just be dropped on his head. But gets the three, gets the bag of money. Really, like, if we, like, for me, the match shenanigans of Dr. Dax and Holodead actually brought the match down for me. And it's not like they weren't well done. Like, I mean, it, you know, that's what managers do when things go wrong. You know, they distract and, you know, play some mind games outside the ring. But, dude, things gone cray-cray in the ring. Like, that pendulum thing, I cannot, you know, cannot talk about that pendulum roll through enough. And we just really didn't need the shenanigans. The match was just over on its own. But either way, you know, big props for everybody in that match. And then the new trio of Dr. Dax, Holodead, and Aries getting this briefcase full of cash. And then we segue this into last week, where Holodead attacks Willow Nightingale at the commentary booth. Once again, these two have been feuding as of late, mostly trading backstage attacks and promos. Alicia Toot is with Willow, and Willow talks about how she really just wanted to elevate the featherweight division. She wanted to elevate the women of MLW, and for some odd reason, Holodead is just choosing to pick on her and bully her. And that's gonna stop. Willow is willing to fight. She is ready to fight Holodead. Backstage, Emilio Sparks is with Myron Reed. He really just kind of like goes to town on him verbally, just running down how Myron was a former two-time MLW middleweight champion. He's lost his tag team partner and stablemate. He's pretty much lost all of his stablemates over the last couple of years, and he's back on his own. And Myron's just like, dude, I'm the young goat. Say my name with some respect. But before we can get too long, too far with that, the lights go out, and Carly Perez, the former Katrina, appears. She notes that Reed is falling, but he hasn't hit rock bottom yet. He has a long way to go before he gets there. But once he gets there, and he will, she will be there with her hands to pick up the young goat. What does this mean? I don't know, but anything Katrina is involved with doesn't end well for our heroes, usually. Also backstage, somebody asks Alexander Hammerstone, how's his ankle doing? He's going to have a match tonight. And no, he's not. A wild Matanza Cueto attacks, and the feed gets cut during the brawl. We move from there into a promo section with 5150, each kind of giving their thing. And I will say, comparatively speaking, like, this is probably one of the best promos they've ever done. It really just kind of boils down to that, you know, they're preparing themselves. Like, it's a calm before the storm. They are preparing themselves like you would for a big heist. Rivera, you know, notes that there's no second chances, like, this is going to be it tonight. Of course, 5150 is taking on Los Parks in Philly Street Fight for the World Tag Team titles tonight, so they are hyped, they are ready, they're gonna fight, man. No second chances, they out, live and die. Anywho, now that I've butchered all that metaphor for 5150, though, again, I will stress, it's like my favorite promo that they've done yet. We're going to move along to Alicia Toot. She chronicles the rise and fall of Contra Unit and kind of gives a brief rundown of where at least the core group is at the moment. She notes that Akira Kwan is back in Japan. He is training with Yoshihiro Tajiri. Mads Kruger, who happens to follow me on Twitter, is out in South America in the pit fights there. And both Jacob Fatu and Joseph Samael have disappeared, and no one's heard from them since the War Chamber event. And actually, in the case of Samael, haven't heard from him since right before War Chamber. But we are not going to talk about Simon Gotch and Sean Devari. So they're just gone. But never mind that. We got some more brawling with Alexander Hammerstone and Matanza. They both finally get separated by referees and security. So hopefully that's the end of those shenanigans for the evening. All right, we are going to take a brief pause for the cause. Get all the folks going, get their energy drinks as my phone continues to beep at me, and I'll be back in one moment. Now, whether you're someone who works out, or, like me, needs to maintain focus and mental clarity, we could all use a pick-me-up. That's where Raise Energy steps in. With Refresh technology, Raise provides a hydrating, sugar-free boost of energy without the crash some other energy drinks have. You can find out where you can get Raise Energy near you by visiting www.repsports.com, and while you're there, check out the other products that Rep offers, such as pre- and post-workout supplements and snacks. And if you want some extra savings, order online and apply my discount code CASS, that's C-A-S-S, at checkout for 15% off your order. All right. I am back. We are going to have some more in-ring action. Finally, it is Matt Cross taking on the debuting Enzo, the former Enzo Amore from WWE. This is his first appearance in Major League Wrestling. They've been hyping him up until today. He is going to have some hard work ahead of him, though, with M-Dog 20 Matt Cross, world-traveled veteran, 20-year veteran. So let's see how Enzo will do. Enzo comes to the ring pretty subdued, actually. It's for everyone who's like all familiar with his Certified G and Bona Fide Stud stuff, we're not getting any of that as he just struts down to the ring. We get a long tie-up sequence to start the match out. Enzo does take some control. They trade holds, but again, Enzo is holding on for dear life before Cross hits a flurry of offense, finishing up with a springboard crossbody for a two count. We go to commercial and come back with Enzo back in control and holding on to chin lock like his life depends on it. Hits a big suplex with a float over. We haven't seen one of those in quite some time. Gets a two count, though. Commentary is really putting over this is a riches to rags story for Enzo, talking about that, you know, he pretty much started his career right in WWE, and then, you know, he doesn't have it anymore. He doesn't have the fancy contract anymore, and he's kind of have to work his way back up through the independent scene to earn the respect from the crowd and the peers. So, like, they're almost kind of considering this like an underdog story, which I do think is interesting. Just because it's Emma Enzo, and 9 times out of 10, his character is Certified Prick. How you doing? Anywho, back to the actual match itself. Enzo cuts off Cross at the top rope, hits a crucifix bomb, then a backstabber for a two count. Enzo goes up to the top rope this time, but Cross takes him out with a pump kick mid-air. Cross rolls through on a shooting star press attempt, hits a handspring cutter for two. Somewhere in all of this action, Enzo is busted open in the forehead. I think it's when he was fighting with Cross on the top rope prior to the shooting star press. Anywho, Enzo doesn't want any more of the action. He's trying to crawl out of the ring, grabs the ring apron. The ref's like fighting with him over the ring apron. Ref wins that battle, is putting the ring apron back. Meanwhile, Enzo gets up and takes Matt Cross to Dick Kick City and hits the soul food, gets the 1-2-3. Enzo wins in his debut. A solid match between the two. I did think it was interesting talking about this kind of underdog story and then just for Enzo to heal at the end, which ultimately doesn't hurt my feelings. I feel like unless Enzo's going like full, you know, spiel like he was when he was with Big Cass, like he works best as a heel. So, I mean, no loss there, or, well, you know, no dislike, no hatred for that there. Enzo shows his true colors that He's just a certified jerk. And we're just going to see how many times I can say the word certified plus negative adjective in there and get away with it before the Twitterverse implodes upon me as they are wont to do. Anywho, as we go to the end of this, we get highlights of Casey Navarro and his time in MLW. He is coming out for commentary. Him and Enzo exchange dirty looks. And as Casey kind of wanders off, Enzo attacks him from behind, drops him groin first on the guardrail before finishing up with a crucifix bomb into the ring post. That had to hurt. So no commentary for Mr. KC Navarro tonight. He gets a trip to the local medical facility. All right, next week we are going to get Tajiri, our MLW middleweight champion, taking on Atsuki Oyugi. And this will take place in the rings of All Japan Professional Wrestling. So once again, MLW is crossing over company wide, and this is the first time a Major League Wrestling championship has been defended on Japanese soil since I believe the Bread Club took the belt over there back in like 2003 or so. So that's exciting news, big news coming out of that. I mean, obviously we've reported this a handful of times before, but it is finally happening. Well, it's already happened, and we'll get to see it all next week. Backstage, Richard Holiday is with Alicia Toot. He knows that the Canadians don't celebrate Christmas, but as such, like, it doesn't matter to him. Christmas and the other holidays surrounding the December-January season is his favorite time of the year, and he wants to offer Alicia a gift. Of course, this is a Dynastic coffee mug. Unfortunately, it's not filled with rarefied air coffee, but I guess he can't plug that on MLW television quite yet. Atute is not terribly enthused when, hey, look, Alexander Hammerstone and Matanza Cueto are bursting through and fighting again. Montanza Duran. Old habits die hard, man. Hammer and Matanza are brawling. Hammer takes the coffee mug and slams it over Matanza's head before settling on a chain to beat the monster down. Holiday is suitably upset, man, because come on, that was a gift. And Atute doesn't want a part of this. Nah. All right, moving on. We have Emilio Sparks. He's backstage with Holodead, Dr. Dax, and Ares. They kind of have a brief discussion about the money. Holodead is going to get herself a nice new set of knives when 5150 shows up, and they want Emilio Sparks' shoes. Luckily, though, Conan's there, and he's like, nah. We don't need shoes right now. We need gold. Keep your head on, keep your eyes on the prize. Let's go. Which will lead us to our main event of the evening. 5150 with Conan and Dr. Julius Smokes will be taking on Los Parks, represented by Hijo del LA Park and LA Park Jr. in a Philadelphia street fight for the MLW Tag Team Champions. Because maybe only half the guys in this match are middleweights, and that's being pretty liberal with middleweight action right there. Anywho, we start off with a brief 5150 promo. It's mostly just to get the crowd into it, get the crowd to make some noise before the match starts, before Los Parks wander out. Things start off hot and heavy with 5150 clubbering Los Parks, but ends with Los Parks hitting a pair of suicide dives outside the ring. Hijo del LA Park introduces a chair to the match. Junior follows suit, so they are clubbering now with chairs. And we have a rake. A rake has been brought to the ring. I'm not sure whether it came with a shopping cart that LAX had, or they found it under the ring. We also have a hockey stick. And finally, they're just like, F it, and use the shopping cart itself as weapons during this match. We go to commercial break, come back, and inside the ring, Slice Boogie just tosses Iho outside the ring, and then Germans LA Park Jr. when he comes in to avenge his brother. Iho comes back, and we have a spirit battle, trading forearms and chops and all that sort of good stuff. Iho wins this battle, hits a Yoshi Tonic for two. It may have been three, because the Yoshi Tonic is traditionally one of the finishers from the Park family, but Rivera comes in and breaks up the pin before we got the three count there. Rivera hits a standing solo Spanish fly. I only bring this up because of my soapbox, because nobody can announce the Spanish fly correctly. If you're by yourself, you are not doing a Spanish fly. You are doing a solo Spanish fly. If you are not on the top rope, you are not... Well, if you're on the top rope, you are doing a Spanish fly, even if it's solo. If you're on the ground doing a Spanish fly, you are doing a standing Spanish fly. There we go. Got that out of my system. Once again, consarn it. Anywho, Spanish flies aside, not enough to put the E-hose away. Junior now is trades outside the ring with Senior, so rolls under the ring, and magically he gains 100 pounds. Or... again, like, I'm pretty sure it's LA Park Sr., but he hits a big spear on Rivera, on Slice Boogie. I wrote that wrong in my notes, but not enough to finish the match. They trade back off. Homicide comes out and looks for Park under the ring, finds him. Those two brawl away, so it's back to 2-on-2, or, well, I mean, 2-on-4, I guess, but Conan and Smokes really haven't gotten involved in the match in any, like, you know, physical way. Iho hits a big Mexican destroyer for a two count. We bring in a press board from underneath the ring. Slice Boogie spears Iho through the board. We finish up with a Death Valley Driver double stomp combo from the top rope on LA Park Jr. for the win. We have new MLW Tag Team Champions 51-50, and... that was a crazy go-nuts match. I mean, we've seen wilder brawls, but there's just so much going on the entire bloody time. Like, no complaints on that, because I like my action wild and woolly, going to the complete opposite end of the spectrum that we had in our first match, which is what professional wrestling is all about, the three-ring circus. You don't like the clowns, watch the trapeze artists. This is what we got going on tonight. In the best way possible. But this is not at the end of the show, ladies and gentlemen. We have one more little segment with MLW National Openweight Champion Alex Kane coming in, the Suplex Assassin, rolling in with his buddy Mr. Thomas, the Bomayi Fight Club. Come up in a car, Mr. Thomas comes out, and Calvin Tankman just flies in with a freaking forearm and takes Mr. Thomas out, at least back into the car. Car door shuts and they drive away, and that is how our show ends. And I will say that thoroughly entertained me too, just because that forum was just totally out of nowhere. You didn't just see, like, guy run in, punch blah. It was just flying Tankman hitting a forearm and just drops Mr. Thomas into the car, so that was fun too. And lots of stuff going on tonight. Give them that. But really, I thoroughly enjoyed this show again, like going from we'll call it the Lucha Catch of Aramis and Ares, to the wild and woolly brawl that was 51-50 versus Los Parks. Fun show tonight. As I said, like, once I'm done playing around with this here microphone, gonna shoot my friends the messages to watch that. It was a lot of fun. If you haven't watched and you just listened to the show just for my recaps, I do recommend you see the show visually. I can't do a proper description in a review. Just see it yourself. The matches were a lot of fun. But that being said, there are no more matches tonight. I'm going to take my leave of you. Thank you all for listening. Stay tuned for the plugs and the best ways to help support this show. And hopefully, you know, if enough of you support this show, I don't have to do crazy things like work late and screw up my podcasting schedule. So, you know, help a brother out on that front, man. But, you know, cheap plugs aside, thank you all for listening. I will catch you all next week. Thank you for listening to MLW Confusion. MLW Confusion is written and narrated by Rob Kammer, but is not affiliated with Major League Wrestling. The opening theme is written and performed by Rob Kammer, and what you are listening to right now is Ruined My Day by Alan L. Schroeder. If you enjoyed the show, please like, subscribe, and leave a review. Also, be sure to tell your friends, family, and enemies about the show. Word of mouth is very important to us small businesses. You can also get up to date with the thoughts and ramblings at the social media at the links in the description. If you'd like to support monetarily and help out, and to upgrade our equipment too, by the way, you can in the following ways. First, our virtual tip jar is at www.kofi.com/casanova. That is CASSONOVA. Or, for more bang for your buck, join our Patreon at www.patreon.com/casanova. For as little as $1 a month, you can get access to MLW Confusion early and ad-free, plus get weekly exclusive goodies. So be like the OGs, Maverick 45 and Alan Schroeder, and check that out. Also, for your energy, sleep, and workout needs, check out repsports.com and use the coupon code CASS at checkout to get 15% off your order.